Each year in the middle of January, we have what I call a triple play of prayer. First is prayer for the protection of human life. We have a 2-3 hour afternoon tomorrow of exposition of the Blessed Sacrament in our daily Mass chapel from 2 o'clock, benediction and a little talk about respect for life. Anyone is welcome to join us. Some of you hopefully will be making the trip to Washington, D.C. on Friday for the March for Life. So the first play is prayer for life. The second, on the occasion of our public celebration on Monday of Martin Luther King's birthday, is a prayer for racial harmony and for peace and justice in our land. The evidence of the last number of months with all the turmoils between police shootings and a lot of neighborhood reactions certainly is a timely prayer for us again this year in our country. The third is a prayer for unity among Christian believers, marked by Tuesday night's ecumenical service at St. Philip and James at 7:30, which you're all most welcome to attend as well. So prayer for life, prayer for racial justice and peace, prayer for Christian unity. Well, the Powerball's over. You got nothing else to pray for. You might as well pray for those things, right? All of the guys in my neighborhood in Upper Darby call this guy Big George. Now, his real name was Gorgias. He was a first-generation Greek-American whose parents immigrated to our country, native-born. Now, the amazing thing about Big George is this. Big George got married to a woman he met once because his parents and her parents back in Greece arranged the marriage. We were astounded. Can you imagine if any of these young adults in our church here today, okay, would ever consider marrying something mom or dad picked for them without even seeing them ahead of time? No dating, no courtship, no nothing. One time when the girl got off the boat, he met her, and they got married. Wow. Well, I said to myself, there's got to be a homily in there somewhere about Big George. See, today's gospel reading about the wedding feast at Cana gives us the occasion to reflect a little bit on what we believe about marriage. It's not as popular anymore. I know most of the brides and grooms today, they like the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, blessed, 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 blessed. They love that beautiful passage in John's Gospel from chapter 15, love one another as I have loved you, live in my love, your joy will be complete. They're beautiful texts about what marriage can be. But what's the point of the Cana feast? The point is this, that when we celebrate marriage, we pray that Jesus would be just as much a part of this young couple's relationship of love and marriage as he was part of the party at Cana for that couple. It's all about the presence of Jesus in a marriage relationship. In fact, as many of the couples that I've talked to over the years here getting ready for marriage have heard me say, in Catholic tradition, in understanding our sacrament of marriage, marriage is not a duet. It's not just a relationship between a man and a woman. Marriage is a trio. It's a relationship between a man and a woman and Jesus Christ, equally bound together in a commitment to live out a faithful, generous, life-giving love for each other. Any of you folks that have been married more than 1 year, first year you get a bye. After 1 year, you know how hard it is, day in, day out, to love one another for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. You know that. It demands all the energy and strength that a man and a woman have to remain attentive and respectful and caring and sensitive and faithful to each other. It's hard being married. That's why we celebrate a sacrament in which Jesus is present to sustain with his grace and the fidelity of his love and support and encourage and give strength and hope and trust to people whose human means alone are not enough. The mystery that we celebrate is that God in Christ so responds to the mystery of human love for each other that it's strengthened and supported and nourished throughout the life of the marriage. So today, having heard the wedding feast of Cana story yet again, I simply invite you to pray for all the married and engaged couples of our parish community that recognizing and keeping their hearts open to the presence of Christ in their married life, they may be generous and faithful and life-giving and respectful to one another and to others around them all the days of their married life. Well, my buddies and I were shocked when Big George got married to a girl he didn't even know much. But I got to tell you, Gorgias and Theodora are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary next month. I guess the bottom line is that you got a 50-50 chance of success in marriage whether you pick your own partner or not. But I can tell you this, that when a man and a woman keep their hearts and minds open to the presence of Christ in their marriage, their odds for a happy, healthy, lifelong relationship are much, much better than your odds of winning that Powerball.